الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد We know that we are in a time where Muslims are in general starting to wake up. And this is what some of the contemporary people describe as the age of Sahwa. The age of the awakening of Muslims, or the awakening of Muslims. We see Muslims starting to come back to Islam everywhere, in all Muslim countries. We find that there are parents who were very far away from Islam, and then their children, amazingly, are coming back in small and large numbers. And this is something which is impressive, something which brings happiness to the heart. With this awakening, however, we see that Muslims are of different directions in their understanding of Islam and in their practice of Islam. And in these different directions, each one of the groups which goes in its own direction believes that it is following Islam according to the best possible way, and that the way that it is following Islam is the way that's going to bring back the honor and the glory to the Muslim Ummah. We see that, and this is something that all of us witness, we see that the youth, the young Muslims, are so pleased with coming back to Islam and so enthusiastic about Islam that in many cases they go into premature clashes with non-Muslims, and these clashes sometimes bring harm to the Muslim Ummah in general. And the fact is, you know, like when you have a young baby, when you have a young child who just starts walking, you cannot allow this baby to go out, for example, in the street where the cars are and say, okay, my baby is starting to walk, then inshallah he can go wherever he wants. No. We actually first start to make sure, by making sure that our baby is very well balanced, that he knows to walk very well, and that out of every 10 times that he tries to walk, he does indeed make it from one point to the other and not fall 9 times, you know, and make it 1 time or something like this. we make sure that our baby grows up steadily and strongly in order for us to trust him and make sure and believe that inshallah he can go and travel around to the places that we would like him to be able to do that. But we find that in case of the Muslim Ummah, in case of this awakening, in the case of this young baby, which is the awakened Muslim generations, we find that we do not use the same approach. We try to push this baby very, very quickly and say, go and make your trip. So the purpose of my talk today, this morning inshallah, is to remind about a few things in regards to this, to this idea. To remind that there is one way in which we can inshallah be sure that our baby is strong and that he is capable and or he will be capable of handling the great responsibilities that he will have to handle. We want to make sure, and this is inshallah what I'll talk about as well, that the young Muslim generation needs to grow in the right direction. And another example I would bring is of a plant, of a young plant now. So this young plant, sometimes if it has, you know, obstacles in its way when it tries to grow, it would tend to go in different directions from the straight way of going straight up. And this will bend it, this will make it deformed, this will make it move in a direction that is not supposed to go. So what can we do, and how can we understand which direction is supposed to go in? So we need to know what is this direction first. We need to know what is the proper way for the Muslim generations to follow. And that inshallah will enable us to bring ourselves and our societies in accordance with such a direction, and therefore be the victorious, because victory comes only in one way, and it is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to give victory to people. But these people are not everybody who says that I want victory. It is for people who say that they want victory and they show that they deserve it. In our time, just like previous times, previous generations, but as I said, it's probably a little better. We find that there is awakening in our time. In the previous generation, Muslims were not as much coming back to Islam as now. But in either case, we find that Muslims who are strong advocates of Islam, who follow Islam properly, are always very few. And this is a description, this is a promise that the Messenger ﷺ described Muslims in the future to have. He described Islam ﷺ by saying, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا فطوبى للغرباء, which means that Islam started as a stranger amongst people, which means that very few people followed Islam, so the rest looked to them as strangers and foreigners amongst them. This is how Islam started in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا, and it's going back to this state of being stranger amongst people. That's in the future times. فَطُوبَ الْغُرَبَاء, so he gave glad tidings of Jannah. طُوبَ, according to the authentic tafsir, is a tree in the Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving the tidings of a tree in the Jannah, or the Jannah in general, for al-ghuraba, for those strangers, for those Muslims who are strangers and foreigners in their own lands, in their own people. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, who are those strangers? من هم الغرباء? He said, هم الذين يصلحون إذا فسد الناس, which means they are the ones who will be good when people in general will be bad. هم الذين يصلحون إذا فسد الناس. And in another report he said, هم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس, which means they are the ones who will correct whatever wrong other people have done. And another report he said, هم النزاع من القبائل. هم النزاع من القبائل, which means they are the very few selected people in tribes. And you find that this is a very accurate description of the Prophet ﷺ. We find large families and large tribes, and we find always one or two or three people in these tribes and groups and, you know, families who are according to the correct way that you will be describing, inshallah. But the majority are not. So they are nuzza', like, you know, the peculiar people in their societies and in their families. And in another report he said, they are the ones that are in accordance, or that live in accordance with the way that I am living and my ashab as well. So it is, they are the ones who are following the way of the Messenger ﷺ and his sahaba. So being few amongst large numbers of people who are deviated is not something to worry about, is not something to make a person feel that, well, I'm peculiar, this means I'm wrong. Definitely not. This is against the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah Azza wa Jal has his sunnah and his way, that is his natural law in this life, that the majority of people will not according to the right way, will not follow the right way, and only the few minority are the ones who are following the truth. So we have to feel pleased and happy if we find ourselves amongst this minority, as long as we know that we are in the correct minority. It's not any minority, it has to be the correct minority. And this is like what Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said. He said, أنت الجماعة إذا كنت على الحق ولو كنت وحدك, which means you are الجماعة. He was referring to some hadith which describe الجماعة. He said, you are the جماعة if you are following the truth, even if you are by your own self. So do not expect the jama'ah to be large in numbers. They are few in numbers in general, and most people will be against them. Allah Azza wa Jal says in this regard, he says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِن هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ, which means that if you follow most of those who are on earth, they will turn you away from the way of Allah. Why? Because إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ, they only follow their assumptions, their conjectures, and they only are assuming things. They are saying things that they are not certain about. And then he says, your Lord is the one indeed who knows who has gone astray from his way, and he is the one who knows who are the rightly guided. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ, which means many people who live with each other are such that some of them will be transgressing against some others, except those who believe and do good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and then Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ, and they are indeed very few, those people who do not incur injustice on each other and on their friends and their companions. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, فَلَوْلَا كَانَ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أُولُو بَقِيَّةٍ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Which means, had it only been that amongst the earlier centuries there have been a few people, the remains of people, that is some people, some very few people, who forbid evil on earth, except very few that we have saved amongst them. So as I said, being a stranger amongst a large number of people should not make a person lose heart and think that I am definitely different, I am different, I am peculiar, therefore I am wrong. This is not the way that Allah wants it to be, and we know this from the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are many other ayat to this effect, like for example Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, which means not the majority of people, even though you would like it to be so. He's addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the majority of them are not believers. So this is something that should not make you unhappy and displeased and say, okay, I have made a call amongst people, I have invited people, and most of them rejected my invitation, therefore I may be wrong or something, I am doubtful about what I am telling them. We should remember that no matter what our numbers are, in order for us to deserve the victory that Allah promised to the believers in this life and in the hereafter, we have to be according to the true, we have to be on the true way, true path that Allah Azza wa Jal has described and that His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described in many ahadith as well. There is no other way for success and there is no other way for victory. So this is something that we should believe in very deep in our hearts. We should be very clear about this point. We should never expect that victory can come in different ways, in different directions, and everybody who is following whichever way will be granted victory. No, victory will be coming to only one group of people, and it will be only for this group which follows the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ashab, as we heard in the hadith earlier. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in fact even points out that the majority of people will be in the fire by saying that the Jews have separated into 71 groups and the Christians have separated into 72 groups. Excuse me. And then he says, وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 شَعْبًا أو 73 فِرْقًا, which means my ummah will be divided into 73 groups, all of them in the hellfire except one. And then he said in describing this group, he said, هِيَ الْجَمَاعَ, it is the jama'ah. Or in this hadith, rather than the hadith that I said earlier, he said, هِيَ الَّتِي تَكُونُ عَلَى مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي, it is the only saved group, is the group which is with the jama'ah. And as you heard what Ibn Mas'ud said about the jama'ah, it is the group which is following the truth, even if it was only one person in some situations. And he said also that it is the one that follows the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ashab, his sahaba. So the majority of people, even Muslims, are not following the right way. Even though they claim, they say, we are Muslims, we have the same book, we all say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, but according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will not always be on the right way. So which is the saved group of these 73 groups, and how can we identify it, how can we know it so that we can be with it and that we can be saved and victorious as Allah has promised to His obedient worshippers or servants. The Prophet ﷺ described this by saying, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق حتى تقوم الساعة, which means there will always be a group of people in my ummah who will be clearly, openly following the truth, al-haq, hatta taqum as-sa'ah, until the doom's hour, until the end of time, to the end of time. And he said, لا يزال هذا الدين قائما يقاتل عليه عصابة من المسلمين حتى تقوم الساعة, which means this deen will always stand and it will be always protected by a group of Muslims who will be fighting for it until the day of judgment or until the doom's hour. And in another report he said, there will always be a group of لا تزال طائفة من أمتي of my ummah على الحق منصورة, given victory, that will be victorious, given the victory, and they are on the truth. لا يضرهم من خذلهم, they will not be affected or harmed by those who disobey them or who are against them until the doom's hour comes and they are, while they are still on this way. So the Prophet ﷺ gives us the tidings, the good tidings, that there will always be a group of people carrying this deen. And as the Messenger of Allah said in another hadith, that يحمل هذا الدين من كل خلف عدوله, this deen will be carried through the generations, from each generation to the following generation, by the selected best people in that, in each generation. يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ, they will, you know, stop or clean the deen from the effects of those people who try to change it, to alter it, because they are people that go to one extreme or to the other, or people who try to follow their desires and their whims by trying to, you know, put some things into the deen which are not part of it. This will always be the case through the generations. There will be people like this, and as I said, they are the majority, but there will always be these udul, these best people, the just people among each generation, the best people, the selected group among each generation. They will follow this deen, they will carry this deen very clear, very pure, and pass it down to the generation which is coming next after them. Who is this saved or victorious firqa, or al-firqa al-najiya? Probably this is a better term to use in the rest of this talk. Who is this firqa al-najiya? And as I said, firqa al-najiya means the successful or the victorious group that Allah Azza wa Jalla will select through the generations to carry this deen. Who is this firqa al-najiya? Are they the majority of Muslims? Are the majority of Muslims the victorious selected group that was described? The answer is not, because of what you heard, that وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, not the majority of people, even if you like it to be like that, are believers. And the other ayah which says, وَإِنْ تُطِعْ, that I also mentioned earlier, إِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرُ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَضِلُّوكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, if you follow the majority of people, they will turn you away from the way of Allah. So definitely they are not the majority of people. And you remember the hadith about the 73 groups. So this even confirms the fact that we shouldn't look for numbers in order to know whether we are following the truth or not. Are they the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Are they the Sahaba? And the answer is Yes, the Sahaba are among them for sure. Why do we say for sure? Because Allah Azza wa Jal praised these Sahaba and He declared that they are victorious by saying radiyallahu anhum wa radu an dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. Allah is satisfied with them and they are satisfied with Him. They are not rebellious against their Lord radiyallahu anhum. So radiyallahu anhum wa radu an dhalika liman khashiya rabbah, and this is indeed for those who fear their Lord. So Allah Azza wa Jal praises the Sahaba in general, and He says that they are a group that Allah has been pleased with them. And when Allah is pleased with a group, then this He definitely grants them their victory. So they are the victorious group, and they are the first, you know, generation of this victorious group. Why is that? Because of what you heard earlier in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the group that follows my way and the way of my ashab. The victorious group or Firqa Najiyah is the one which follows my way and the way of my ashab. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, which means the best of people is my generation, then those who will follow them, then those who follow them. And the Prophet ﷺ counted either two or three generations. So he described his generation as the best. And this is what we believe, in fact. You know, except for the deviant people, deviant sects, who, you know, instead of praising the Sahaba, they curse them. Everybody else, all Muslims, all true Muslims, believe that the Sahaba are the best generation for sure that ever lived, other than the prophets, of course. The Sahaba that Allah Azza wa Jal selected to live with His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to live the in a state of Islamic society that never existed so nicely and so well, neither before them nor after them. So these are the best of people, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. So they are the best, and then people who follow their way. And Allah Azza wa Jalla refers to people who follow their way and who praise them and who love them by saying, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. In this ayah of Surah Al-Hashr, Allah Azza wa Jalla says this after He describes the Sahaba, both Muhajirin and Ansar. Then He says, those who come after them, those who come after them, they say, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brethren who preceded us in Islam, and do not leave any traces of hatred in our heart for the believers. You are all merciful and all forgiving. Now you see that this is again, you know, referring to some deviant sects who say that who curse the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You see that they are declaring their being one of the lost groups by cursing the Sahaba, when Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the good Muslims as being those who come afterwards and who ask Allah to forgive the preceding Muslims. And He is certainly referring here to the Sahaba of both groups, Muhajirin and Ansar, and then anybody who follows their ways. So the Sahaba are al-Firqa al-Najiyah, and anybody also who follows their way in the succeeding generations. Now if we go to some of the descriptions of the ulama in the earliest times of Islam, of Tabi'in and those who followed them, we find that they describe this Firqa Najiyah in different descriptions, and we'll go over them, or some of them, very briefly inshallah. For example, Abdullah bin Mubarak, one of the Tabi'in, used to say in regards to this Firqa Najiyah, who is Firqa Najiyah, he said, "Hum indi ashab al-hadith." To me, they are ashab al-hadith. They are the people of hadith. Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, said same thing. Hum ashab al-hadith. They are the people of hadith. And he said, they are ahlul hadith. They are those who take care of the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they cleanse it from, you know, impurities. If it was not for them, then Al-Mu'tazila and Al-Rafida, which means Shia, and Al-Jahmiya, other groups, you know, of the lost groups, these 72 other groups or parties, wa ahlul al-irja wa al-ra'i, and people who, you know, apply their own conjectures in Islam instead of following the hadith, he said, all of these would have destroyed Islam if it was not for this saved group, for Ahl al-Hadith. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, said, he said, إِن لَمْ تَكُنَ الطَّائِفَةُ الْمَنْصُورَةُ أَصْحَابُ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَصْحَابَ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِي مَنْ هُمْ, which means, if this ta'ifa, this group, the saved group or the saved party, if they were not Ahl al-Hadith, then I wouldn't know whom else could they be. In other words, I cannot expect them to be anybody other than Ahl al-Hadith, the people of Hadith. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, in reference to the same hadith, he said, it means Ashab al-Hadith, the people of Hadith. Similarly, you know, there are similar statements by other ulama of Islam, like Ahmad ibn Sinan, like Imam Malik, like Imam Thawri, like Waqi'a, rahimahumullah jami'an, and many others. Now, who are Ahlul Hadith? What does it mean that they are Ahlul Hadith? Or that they are Ashab al-Hadith? Does it mean that they are a certain group that they would identify themselves as being Ahl Hadith? For instance, we know that in our time there are people who identify themselves as Ahl Hadith in different places of the Muslim countries. Are they the ones that are meant as being Firqa Najiyah? We should remember that Islam is not, you know, what we call ourselves. Or another, let me put it differently, that the names and descriptions are not what makes the truth of things, but it is what is in their heart. It is what people are truly doing, not what they call themselves. So we find that there are people, whether you call them Ahl Hadith or Salafis or any of these descriptions which are meant to describe the people who are the true followers of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you find people among them that they are trying their best to follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you find that there are also some among them who are not, who just use the name, you know, as a cover to say that we are of the people of hadith, but in the end you find that they are not truly followers of the hadith. And then you find other people who do not, you know, name themselves as being part of this group or part of the second group or part of any other group, but they still have lived their life with the intention, with the attempt, continuous attempt to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow the way of his Sahaba radiallahu anhum as closely as possible. Now, if they do not name themselves as Ahl Hadith or anything like this, or Ashab Hadith, does this mean that they are not among this state group? The answer is no. As I said, The name is not what makes the truth of things. So we have to know that whatever we call ourselves, if we do not truly follow the hadith, if we are not truly advocates of hadith, if we are not truly people who put the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ ahead of everything else, and if we do not follow the way of his ashab radiallahu anhum and make this as our highest priority, then we are not of Ahl al-Hadith. We are not of Ashab al-Hadith. No matter how many times we call ourselves this. And the opposite is true. If we follow this way very strongly, very sincerely, then inshallah we are amongst them. Of course, now we see that people have been divided, as I said earlier in my talk, are divided into many groups, many parties, and each party says that I am the correct group, I am the saved group, I am the Firqa Najiya. And as I said earlier, this doesn't make their claims correct. What makes the claims correct is whether they are of Firqa Najiya as was described by the Prophet ﷺ or not. So this is what distinguishes Firqa Najiya from others. Whether they are following the description, or whether the description applies to them, the description of the Prophet ﷺ regarding this Firqa. You find that the people, true followers of Hadith, are people who are the least, who follow arguments, who follow conjectures, who are willing always to submit to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when it is explained to them, or when it becomes clear, when its meaning becomes clear to them. I had, something happened between me and one of the brothers that describes himself as being of Ahl Hadith. And it happens that the small town that we live in, he and I are, looked at by people as being the people of Ahl Hadith, or whatever we call them, the people who always bring up the Hadith and say that we need to follow the Hadith and so on. And I had a recent discussion with him, hot discussion, and it's not finished. We have to finish it, inshallah, when I go back. Which is that, and this, when it comes to the, maybe the problem is not as severe here, or maybe it is as it is in the United States, but when it comes to this determining the beginning and the end of Ramadan, many people fall into conflicts in this matter. And some people say we start fasting on this day, no on this day, no on this day. And some people base their arguments on hadith indeed, and on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Some people base their argument on other things, like, for example, hating a certain regime or a certain country and say, we do not follow this, we do not follow that, we do not follow this. We follow our country, for example, or we follow the group which we, identify ourselves with in this part of the world, and that whatever they do. So the argument that I had with this brother, and this is something that we need to remember, is that no matter what our position is from any matter, we should always bring the hadith ahead of everything else. We should never bring our desires first. And the argument is that I wrote a paper in this regard in this month of Ramadan. It was sent by mail to many people in the United States and Canada. This paper, I gave also a copy to this brother, who I know that he disagrees with me in opinion about this matter. And I never sat with him and discussed with him the situation. So I gave him the paper, like I gave it to other people in our area. And when the time came to determine the beginning of the month, I found that he is taking a different opinion. And he was blaming very strongly anybody who opposes or does you know, believes different from what he believes to be the beginning of the month. I said, have you read the paper that I gave to you? And he said, well, no, I think I'll have to look for it. I don't know where I put it. And the thing is, you know, he may be, I mean, I'm sure that my point of view, what I based, you know, my paper on from the words of the ulama and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is the correct approach to this matter. But still, I mean, it could be that he was right and that I was wrong if he proves it to me and if he brings me the evidence. But if a person is really seeking the truth, he has to be ready to look for it. If I'm looking for, if I am willing to accept the truth, then I shouldn't say this is my opinion and I will not change it no matter what happens. And I don't want to read about the subject. I don't want to listen to anybody. This is an example. I mean, I'm not trying to bring this subject as the most major part of my talk, so let not most of the questions now come about the beginning and the end of Ramadan. But I meant it as an example to show that our intention should be to put the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ forward ahead of everything else. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. This I discussed in detail yesterday in my talk. By your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you judge, O Muhammad ﷺ, in everything that arises amongst them. And then you know the rest of the ayah that I said, I explained yesterday. So if we do not have this desire to always change to the better, and what means change to the better? Means to always understand the hadith of the Prophet better and apply it better, then we will never be truly of the people of Ashab al-Hadith or Ahl al-Hadith, the followers of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I explained to this brother, and inshallah, as I said, we still have some more to talk about later, there was, in our case, you know, there were some witnesses who witnessed sighting the moon even in the United States, making the beginning of Ramadan on a certain day and the end on a certain day, which was earlier than some other groups decided it to be in America. But the sighting was rejected by those group, by those other people, even though the people who sighted the moon, who saw the moon, were large in number. And I know personally 3 or 4 of them. And why is that? Because the astronomical evidence proved that the moon could not be sighted on that particular night. So, again, I mean, this is in direct conflict with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which tells us what approach to follow in determining the beginning and the end of the month of Ramadan. So when we see things like this, you know, in matters like this, many people do not like these things to be given much importance, and I agree that we should not make the beginning of the month of Ramadan, for example, and the end as a criterion which decides who is with us of our group and who is against us. This is true. We should never let this happen. But at the same time, we find that this issue shows to many people who is, you know, truly willing to follow the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ completely with full surrender and who is not. Who is trying to follow his custom or his desires or his conjecture, as we said earlier. So this is an example of many examples that we can bring to show that the true follower of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is not the one who says, I am of the followers of the hadith. I can say, and we know that many examples, I gave a little example, but we have much more striking examples of people who say that they are ulama and who write writings, who have writings in hadith, but you find that they reject many of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, even some of the hadith of Bukhari, because it does not agree with their own desires or with their own madhab in understanding the aqidah of the Prophet ﷺ, the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah, you know, have His mercy and blessing on them. So it is not by claims, it is by truth. What makes people of this saved, firqa najiya, or what makes them out of it or away from it. So this now, I hope inshallah it tells us what is al-firqa najiya. It is a firqa, it is the group which follows the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which follows the way of his companions radiallahu anhum. This is again, you know, explained in an ayah of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which Allah Ta'ala says addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, which means this is my way, I make da'wah to Allah, I am on a clear guidance, and those also who follow me. I am on a clear guidance, we know what we are doing, we are following the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we are following the revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. So we are on a clear guidance. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, he says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, which means one who displeases or disobeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to him. This is the first thing, requirement, or the first disobedience, or the first rejection. And then the second thing, ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين, and who follows a way other than the way of the مؤمنين, نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم, for him we'll give him what he deserves and he will be in the hellfire, وساءت مصيرا, and it is the best of abodes. Now who are the believers that are described in this hadith, in this ayah? سبيل المؤمنين, the way of مؤمنين. What is the way of the مؤمنين? Who are the مؤمنين that were present at the time of revelation of this ayah? Who are they? Who are they other than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? So this is the way that we have to follow. And if we do not follow it, if we do not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we displease him or we have animosity with him, which means we reject some of his sunnah or all of his sunnah, or if we accept this but follow a way other than the way of the believers, then we may be liable to this warning that Allah Azza wa Jal gave in this ayah. So we have to be careful, we have to know what is the way of the believers and we have to follow it as closely as we can. This is the way for success, this is the way for victory, this is the way to be among al-firqa al-najiyah. We want to establish a khilafah. We want to establish an Islamic state. We want to have Muslims the uppermost. We want to have Muslims the victorious on earth. These are the desires of every Muslim. And any Muslim who does not desire this, who does not hope that this will take place, is not a true Muslim. Right? Every one of us wants Islam to be strong. Every one of us wants to be able to practice our Islam openly and freely and perfectly and fully without being oppressed or made fun of in every occasion. This is our desire. But how to attain this desire? It is by being among al-firqa al-najiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these are things that probably are repeated for some of you because you have heard these many times before. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes what is going to happen in the future after him. He said that there will be khilafah rashida, which means there will be a rightly guided successorship after me. There will be people who will succeed me and who will be rightly guided. And then he described different stages of, you know, of the Muslim Ummah's history in the future, like a stage one, there will be Mulk Jabri, and then there will be Mulk Adud, which means there will be kings who are very unjust in applying and ruling their people. And we see this in our countries, in our Muslim lands now, whether they call themselves kings, or they call themselves presidents, or whatever they call themselves. We know that they are all truly kings, and they are all very unjust in ruling their Muslim people. So this is something that is happening in our time. But then, and this is what I meant to reach, the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةٌ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Then there will again be a khilafah, there will again be a successorship that is according to the way of Nubuwa, according to the way of the prophethood. So this is something that the Prophet ﷺ foretold about its happening. And this is something that we are pleased that it's going to happen. We have great hope that it will happen either in our time or inshallah very soon after. But we have to work for it. We have to work for it in order for it to come. Let us not expect that, and this is probably something that was mentioned also in last night's talk, let us not expect that this will be given to us as the table was given, you know, to the to Isa alayhi salam and those who were with him, when they asked, when his disciples said, asked Allah to send on them a table from the skies to eat from it as a proof, and as a proof of his message. So it was revealed to them like that. The ayah came down, the ma'idah or the table came down, and it was full of all different kinds of food. We should not expect this. We should expect to work for the establishment of this khilafah ala minhaj al-nubuwa. And how can this be established? It is by being with the jama'ah, it is by being with the firqa najiyah. And I have no doubt in my heart, not even one part in a million, that there will not be khilafah ala minhaj al-nubuwa. This khilafah that the Prophet ﷺ foretold of its coming will not take place except on the shoulders of those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of the sahaba. It will not stand except on their shoulders. Otherwise, it will be a contradiction. It will be contradiction to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger ﷺ. And we know that the promise of Allah is the true promise. The promise of His Messenger is the true promise. So if you are with this firqa, or if we all are of those who are trying to be with this firqa by following the way of the Messenger ﷺ and his ashab, then let us be happy and let us work harder on it without losing heart. As the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم. They are not hurt. The firqa najiyah, this group, are not hurt by those who do not support them. They are not hurt by those who come against them. What does it mean they are not hurt? They are not wounded, or they are not, you know, hit? This is not what it means. It means that this does not decrease their iman. This does not decrease their, you know, insistence on following the true way. So if we are of these, when we are of these who are insisting on following the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his ashab, then we should be pleased, and we should do more of this, because we should believe that inshallah we are the ones that are establishing the khilafah on earth, and we are the ones who are inshallah bringing back the power and victory to Islam, no matter what other people claim. It doesn't matter what they claim, because we have seen the failure of their attempts. And we know that the promise, as I said, of Allah is true, that the victory will not come except to people who give victory to Allah and who follow His way in the proper way that He described and that His Messenger ﷺ described. So this wouldn't hurt us, and it wouldn't turn us away from His way. We will stick to the way, to the true way, and we will know that even though it may look a long way to many people, many people will say, this is a long way that you are describing. What do you mean? Educate people? Spend the time on education, on teaching, on bringing people according to Islam, practicing Islam, understanding the Sunnah? Is this all what we are going to spend our time in? When are we going to do the other things? When are we going to establish the Khilafah? When are we going to declare, you know, war against all countries on earth? When are we going to do this and this and this? And, you know, it is amazing. You find sometimes people shouting and, you know, being very enthusiastic about this and saying, brothers, what are you doing to erect the way of Islam? To erect the monuments of Islam? What are you doing for this? You are just sitting in your houses and talking about educating people, and you find that the people who are saying this, in many cases I've seen it, are people who they are not applying Islam even in their own appearance or in their wife's appearance. So even the smallest things which are of Islam, we are not willing to apply. So how about the greater things? You know, it doesn't make sense that you find a person who doesn't know how to add and subtract in arithmetic, and he says, why do you spend your time teaching people arithmetic and multiplication and division? Teach them calculus. But he doesn't know how to add and subtract. That's what's happening in our time, unfortunately. People want to jump to the top of the ladder when they cannot even climb the first two or three steps of this ladder. So we have to establish ourselves gradually but surely. And alhamdulillah, I have seen in my, you know, personal observation over the last 10 or 15 years that people who are sticking to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and to the way of his Sahaba are increasing in numbers. They are not the majority and they will never be the majority, but they are always increasing in numbers. They are always spreading the message further and further, and they are always gaining respect of the people who do not follow them in spite of their own selves. They have to, you know, to respect them, and they are doing this. And that's why you find that people that who 10 years ago used to make fun of every person who follows the Sunnah and who used to say and make jokes, look, those people who follow the Sunnah, all what they care about is whether to move your finger in the prayers or not, and whether to it is allowed to have a ringing bell in your house or not. They used to make these jokes of the people who try to follow the Sunnah. Now you find that they say, we are of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. We are people who do not accept any aqidah except the aqidah of the Salaf. Of course, I mean, in many cases you find that this is a claim which is not substantiated with evidence, but still, I mean, it is a great improvement from 10 years ago. 10 years ago they used to be in exact opposition to us, and now we find that at least in their words they say, we are following the same way, we are trying to follow the way of the Salaf, we are trying to follow the way of the Sahaba, we are trying to apply the Hadith in all what we do or all what we believe. So alhamdulillah, this is an improvement, and therefore I am reminding everybody here that we should not lose heart, and we should know that we are gradually becoming stronger, alhamdulillah, and we are doing it in the proper way. We are doing it in the proper way. So let us not be influenced, you know, by those people who come from the sides and say, come this way, come that way, this is a shorter way to victory, this is a shorter. There is not a shorter, there is no shorter way and longer way. There is only one way to victory. There is one way to success in this life and in the hereafter. And this is the way that we are following, alhamdulillah. So stick to it, and inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant us His victory and His blessing and His rewards. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
جزاك الله خيرا. There are many questions, as everyone can see the numerous questions that have been brought forward. I've had to select a few. The others will not be discarded. As I indicated before the talk, inshallah, we will try and deal with them in some of the six sessions that we have, inshallah. We're taking the questions that are relevant to the talk. I'm going to limit it because the next talk is starting at 11 o'clock. We've changed the agenda slightly. The next talk at 11 o'clock is Repenting in Pursuit of Paradise by Sheikh Suhaib Hassan. Jazakallah khair. The first question. I have a question here. Can you put hadith ahead of the Quran? Can you put hadith ahead of the Quran?
Well, I don't know what this hadith, what this question really means, because, you know, for us Muslims, we believe that both the Quran and the hadith are revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. And in that sense, they both have to be taken together as our source of understanding Islam. So they are one thing that completes and complements each other. And we cannot say that we put the hadith instead of the Quran or the Quran in front of the hadith. They are both together. Of course, we say that Quran is the exact words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in that sense, and as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown, it has some additional rewards for reading it that do not apply to the hadith. Like, for example, if you read one of the letters of the Quran, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then you get a hasana for reading that letter, and each hasana is multiplied 10 times. So in that sense, the Quran is better than the hadith. But in the sense that we are talking about here in this talk, which is to apply Islam, Islam is one thing, which is Quran and Hadith. And you cannot say we take some of it, we drop some of it, because that would make us, wal-iyadu billah, like the Israelis that Allah describes them in the book by saying, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some of the book and drop some other parts of it? We do not want to be like that. So we take this as one unity, as one unit, and as you heard in the hadith that I explained in the talk that I gave yesterday, that the Prophet ﷺ said, not sure in fact now that I said this hadith, but the hadith says, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِثْلَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ, which means I have indeed been given a Quran and what is equal to it with it. And then he said, whatever the Messenger of Allah makes haram is just as what Allah makes haram. So this is not less prohibited, it is as prohibited as what Allah makes haram. So they are one unity, and as I explained yesterday, مَنْ يُطَعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ, whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. So we cannot, this question should not be asked, can we put the hadith ahead of the Quran? We do not put the hadith ahead of the Quran, we put it together with it, they come together. And we do not take our understanding of Islam from the hadith alone, we do not take it from Quran alone, we take it from both of them together. Allahu
Akbar. One question here. A lot of Muslims say they follow the Sunnah, but when they are told a Sahih Sunnah, they do not follow it. How can we change them?
That's confusing. Oh, okay, well, if I understand this question, you know, this could be based on very different things, why they wouldn't follow the Sahih Sunnah. And I think I told privately some brothers here about, I gave some answer to this, that, you know, people say we are followers of the Sunnah or of the Hadith, and I gave you an example of people who say this, but when the test comes, you find that they do not want really to follow the Hadith, but they want to continue as they have been used to. So there are people who We don't know. They probably follow their desires or they follow something else. We don't know. But there are people, and this is usually the majority of people, that even though they love to follow the Prophet ﷺ, they want to follow what is authentic in the Sunnah, yet when you come to them and tell them what it is, they continue to do what they have been doing before, because, for instance, they do not trust what you tell them. They do not trust that what you told them is truly an authentic hadith. Or if it is an authentic hadith, they do not trust, for example, your knowledge, and that what you are telling them is the complete picture. They say, well, somebody else tells us something else, and maybe what they tell us is more, you know, accurate or more authentic, and so on. So for these people, what I say is that we need to gain their trust and their friendship. And do not expect that you can come to any person in the street and stop him and say, look, the Prophet ﷺ tells you not to wear a ring of gold, so throw it away, you enemy of Allah. Do not expect him to take the ring and say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and take it, put it in his pocket, or throw it in the garbage. Do not expect people to respond like this. We are not in the time of the Sahaba, and we are not the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba, when the ayah came that prohibiting wine, they immediately pulled it in the streets of Medina. Let us not expect people to be like this, because as I said, neither we are the Prophet ﷺ, nor they are the Sahaba. So both of us are different, and know that people will not respond to what you tell them immediately when you tell it to them, because of different things, as I said, because of trust and because they are used to doing something and they think that probably the ulama that told them are more knowledgeable and trustworthy than you are. So what we need to do is treat this with wisdom and let the people become our friends. Let them know us closely and know that we are truly seekers of the truth like they are, and that what we say is not based on just conjectures or desires, but that we have researched this matter and we have heard what the ulama say, and some ulama say so and so, others say so and so, therefore we have to follow the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in that regard. So inshallah, that sometimes takes time, but we have to be patient, but this brings its fruits, and I have seen this. In fact, this happened with me. I once lived in a certain town in the United States where people were doing a lot of bid'ahs, and in the first few days I was very mad, you know. I started telling them, stop doing this and stop doing that, and the Prophet says this and that. And one of the older brothers came to me and he said, Alhamdulillah, I see that you have, you know, some knowledge of Islam, so that is good, and inshallah we benefit from it. But you should remember that these people do not know you yet, and they do not trust you. So give them some time to get to know you, and then inshallah they will accept from you. And so I took his advice, and gradually I found that indeed it took probably 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, Allahu A'lam, but you found that after that, the people in general in that area, now even after I left it, Alhamdulillah, with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, they would not allow anything to happen except if it is according in their masjid or in this locality, unless it is according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this needs patience.
Going to take two more questions before we close. One of them is going to be from the sisters, if one of the sisters wants to come to the mic. Before then, I have a question here concerning the remaining 72 sects. We know that one sect will be in Jannah. What will happen to the other 72? If you could answer that briefly, please.
Okay. Before I answer this, I'd like to say something about the sisters talking on the mic. I've heard one of our greatest ulama of this time, who is Sheikh Al-Albani, he used to have, you know, he has many of his tapes recorded and spread all over the Muslim world, and some of them include his, you know, the telephone questions that come to him. Some people call him over the telephone and ask him questions, and he gives them fatwa after fatwa and so on. So many of those who call are sisters, And in the early talks, he used to answer the questions. You hear the question of the sister and the answer. And then later on, probably upon the advice of some people, and I agree fully with that, he stopped doing that. And I heard him in one cassette telling people that they found that it is better not to record the voice of sisters. Because even though the voice of a woman is not haram, as some people say, there is no evidence that it's haram, yet when you hear the voice of a woman, it may cause some fitna for some people who have weakness in their hearts. So I would rather have the sisters who have the question to send it written to here, inshallah, and we'll try our best to answer it because of this reason. Let me go back to this question here about the 72 sects. Are they in the fire? People who are, you know, this question actually is probably requires a lot of time to answer, but I'll say very briefly, and maybe I'll not give it its full justice in the answer, that people of these 72 sects are not always necessarily calling to these sects or basing their following of these sects on a true belief which is in contradiction with the Sunnah. But in some cases we say they are muta'awwila. They believe that this is according to the Sunnah and that this follows from the Sunnah, even though it's wrong, you know, like Mu'tazila, like Khawarij, like Al-Asha'ira, like many groups of people, like Rafidah, Al-Shia, all of these have some beliefs which are against the Sunnah, but their followers sometimes think that this is the truth, and sometimes they are in their hearts know that this is not the truth. So the people who make the da'wah usually to these ways, the people who are the carriers of the banners of these different sects, are usually people who know about this and are people who are in, I wouldn't say they are going to be in the hellfire, but I would say that they are in great danger of being in the hellfire. But for many of the common people, the laymen, you know, for many of them, they just follow this because this is all what they knew or this is what they thought to be the truth. And if it gets to the point when somebody explains to them clearly what it implies, what they say or what they do, what it implies, then they would leave it, drop it, and go back to the Sunnah. So for these, Allahu A'lam, what's in their hearts, and He is the judge for them. But definitely the people who believe clearly in what they do, and they know that it is against what the Prophet ﷺ has called to, then they are in the hellfire. Wa'iyaz billah. Should I answer this, Arabic? Okay. The question is, I read it in Arabic quickly, inshallah, and then I'll translate it. تعلمون كثرة الانقسامات بين المسلمين الآن وسابقا وما نتج عن ذلك من بدع قد تصل إلى الكفر والشرك. في هذه البلاد تكثر مساجد حركة التبليغ الإسلامية وهي منتشرة، وقد علمنا أن لديهم بدع كثيرة وأنهم يفسرون سورة المائدة الشريفة بشكل ينقص من أهمية الجهاد في الإسلام، أرجو إيضاح حكم الصلاة معهم جماعة، علم أنهم يأخرون بعض الصلوات إلى آخر الوقت، يلاحظ قلة المساجد غير منتسبة إلى هذا الحزب الإسلامي. Well, a brother is asking about a particular jama'ah who is spread in the Muslim countries and maybe here also, which is jama'ah tabligh or tabligh jama'ah, and they saying that they interpret Surah Al-Ma'idah or some ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah in a way that they change the meaning of jihad in Islam. Is it allowed to pray jama'ah with them, especially that they delay the prayer in many times until the end of time? And the answer, I would say that you know, whether it's Jama'at Tabligh or any other Jama'at, we know that Jama'at Tabligh, in what they call, in what they invite to, they say we follow the Sunnah, we call people to follow the Sunnah. But in their practices, as I said, in any other people, it's not what you declare, it's not what you claim, it is what you truly do. And the Sunnah has to be the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and not what our elders or our ulama taught us. So they claim that they are following the Sunnah. And that is something that is, alhamdulillah, good. And that brings into the hearts of people the importance of the Sunnah, the importance of following the Sunnah. Now they have mistakes, they have bid'ah, like many other parties of Islam, even people, as I said, who sometimes claim that they are of Ahl Sunnah, some of them may even have bid'ah or mistakes. So, but for this jama'ah, or for any jama'ah, not only the jama'ah tabligh, even if we know that there is a masjid where people are khawarij, or whether they are Mu'tazila or anything like that, what we have learned from our ulama, and this is the aqeedah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is that we pray behind every Muslim, whether he is bar or fajr, whether he is righteous or whether we know that he commits sins, we still should pray behind him. If he is the imam, we should not say no, we'll go and pray by ourselves, unless we are definitely sure he clearly says that I am a disbeliever, or he shows, you know, after we argue with him and we discuss the matter with him, we have definite proof that he is a disbeliever. And this is not easy to prove, by the way. But suppose that this gets to this point, then we wouldn't pray behind them. Otherwise, we have to pray behind every bar and fajr, and we have to understand that people in many cases, as I said in the answer to the previous question, are Muta'awwila, which means they interpret things in a way that to them is correct, even though we know that it's wrong, but to them they think that this is the correct understanding. So for this we have to give them the benefit of doubt, and we have therefore to pray behind them and treat them in general as our Muslim brothers, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us all to his true right way. And as for delaying the jama'ah to the end of time, in this case, you know, we have to remind them about this, and I'm sure that they will respond to this, because I don't think they will do such thing deliberately if it is explained to them about the importance of praying in the beginning of time.
We're finished now. I think some of the sister questions were included in that. We understand. Inshallah, we have to conclude before the next talk is starting. If you want to continue, inshallah, and the Sheikh has time, inshallah, then he will be able to speak to you in time, inshallah.